Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Hello, I'm Matt Chorley, and this is Politics Without the Boring Bits. This week, I'm bringing you some of the best stuff that you might have missed this year, and today's episode is wild. It's perfect listening for political nerds. We have scoured the globe, my Twitter mentions and my inbox, to find the most prized items in political history from the four corners of these aisles and the darker recesses of your nerdy minds. We've tried to create the most comprehensive collection of treasures. We have pillaged and ransacked and taken without asking. We've been to the workshops and wonk factories, the kitchens, bedrooms and wardrobes to unearth the outfits and skeletons that showed the great and good weren't so great or good. Welcome to the Museum of Political Fiascos. It's been in the making for such a long time. It was way back on Tuesday when our head patron, Daniel Finkelstein, and his slightly chippy assistant, John Stevens, discussed the whereabouts of the Liz Truss lectern. Well, John managed to find it.
This is that eye-catching lectern, that one, that higgledy-piggledy pile of wooden blocks that was used by Liz Truss as a lectern when she became PM. My interest started, I did an FOI after she left Downing Street on how much it costs and found out it actually cost £4,000 to taxpayers. And then I didn't leave it there. I then later put in another FOI to find out what had happened to the lectern. Had it found a new life? Was it still in a cupboard somewhere? It turned out it was still in Downing Street. I did the same a couple of weeks ago, and we'd almost all but given up hope that it would find a new life. It was still in a broom cupboard in Downing Street, gathering dust, not loved at all. And then I put an article in the paper early this week. I came on your show on Tuesday, and then actually as I was leaving the building after doing your interview on Tuesday, I got a message with a tip-off that actually there was some hope for the lectern and that he had been moved from Downing Street in recent days. Followed this up, and it turned out it has actually been moved to a new home. Unknown whether it was moved under the cover of darkness or not, but it has been moved to Homes England, and it is now going to be used by them in their offices in Whitehall.
John Stevens revealing where the lectern is, but Danny said it should be put in a museum like this.
We should have an exhibition of, and maybe the British Museum could do that as they've joined in, of fiascos, right? And so maybe political fiascos. You could have William's baseball cap, which obviously and I was in the vicinity of. You could have this lectern, the Jenga lectern, the Ed Miliband's The Millie Stone. You could have, maybe this programme can be the genesis of it.
And so it is. And so it is. After up to 3 days of intensive work, we can finally throw open the doors on this fine institution and you can join us for a tour before someone downstairs takes everything and puts it on eBay. So let's walk into the... yourself walking into the... Patrick McGuire's here for a tour.
I'm at the very front of the queue.
The very front of the queue.
The world's biggest nerd.
It appears to be just snow on the floor, and only one of us... Maybe you're...
It's I'm a giving Christmas you a, miracle.
I'm giving you a piggyback, because only one of us is walking. Well, the opening of a great cultural institution like this is a big moment, and I know of one man whose willingness to turn up uninvited to the opening of an envelope would even stretch the opening of a non-existent museum. He couldn't be here, but we have been sent this very touching message.
This is Ed Vasey, the former Minister of Culture, ringing in to congratulate Times Radio and Matt Chorley on the launch of the Museum of Political Fiascos. There's been a big gap in the museum market, although I have to say there have been one or two museum fiascos recently, but there's been a big gap in the museum market, which is now going to be filled. It's going to be stuffed to the gills with unique and archival material. And I note it's the Museum of Political Fiascos. Obviously, Britain will take centre stage, but don't forget, there are plenty of other countries where political fiascos are also more than commonplace. And I would like to thank the government for the last 7 years or so for providing so much rich material with which to launch this amazing museum.
That's Ed Vasey there. He couldn't be with us live because he's over at the buffet table. Patrick, shall we make our way in then, into the Great Hall?
Let's. My eyes are blinded by the light dancing off this beautiful marble.
Wow, look at that. So dominant. Look at that. Dominating the room. Suspended from this huge ceiling. It's huge forgotten relic of a different age. All the remains of what was once a great political beast.
I recognise that from a car park in Hastings.
Yes, it's a reminder that from history, if you like, that one minute you can be stalking the earth and the next minute you're reduced to a museum exhibit.
Now, our six pledges form the basis of our plan for working people. These six pledges are now carved in stone. They're carved in stone because they won't be abandoned after the general election.
We had about a million recommendations from curators and listeners who wanted that the Ed stone put in the room. What else is in here?
I think I can see some more stones over here, actually.
Oh yeah, so these are some pebbles from Brighton Beach. These are the pebbles which Neil Kinnock tripped over on.
Do you want a real school?
Go on.
I'll walk on the water. Nobody.
Neil Kinnock there falling over in the water.
I can't believe neither of those two became Prime Minister.
And speaking of the beach, we've also got this. This is an international entry. We had to steal this in keeping with the British tradition when it comes to filling our museums with things stolen from abroad. This is a sign from Dominic Raab's Crete Break, which makes clear...
The stuff about me being lounging around on the beach all day is just nonsense. The stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
Yeah, so it's a shame they couldn't afford the paddleboard.
Yeah, so we've got the red notice instead. Right, let's keep going, Patrick. We need to keep moving, which is apt, because we're heading into the Chris Grayling Gallery of Transport Fiascos.
Now, I imagine this is a new wing they had to build with a massive philanthropic donation, because there's a lot to fit in here.
We couldn't, unfortunately, get the ferry in, which didn't exist. The ferry company, which owned no ferries.
But I do notice all the phone bills for all the briefings of his own leadership ambitions, circa 2016.
Now, if the Ed stone was dominating in that last room, dominating this room is a bright red bus.
We can take back control.
Can I? Is this a no-touch thing, or can I get in the driving seat?
This bus, but didn't Will Young use that bus as well? As a tour bus.
Oh, that's a good call. They should really have contextual notes in front of these exhibitions.
It's because we're not using the audio guide properly. Also, so we've got this great big red bus, but there's a smaller red bus just to the side here.
I have a thing where I make models of... when I was in London, we were mayor of London, we build a beautiful... I make buses. I paint the passengers enjoying themselves.
Okay, great.
On the wonderful bus.
Yeah. I think that was painted by a nobleman. Sorry, that was extracted by a nobleman. Little-known young nobleman.
Now elevated to the House of Lords, Ross Kemp. What's that over there, Patrick?
Well, that is a very, very special piece of transport history. It is, as you can see, bright pink, untouched, this antique vehicle, since 2015. And it was, you know, part of that very successful election campaign we saw in the main hall with the Edstone. It's Harriet Harman's Barbie bus.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, I've just looked in my bag a moment ago and realised that my iPad was pink and it hasn't drained away my feminist credentials. So, I mean, it's meant to be eye-catching.
Joe, if you did it now, it'd probably go down quite well, Barbie.
It would, you know, it'd get the youth, vote out, wouldn't it?
It's not just buses, though, over there. We've got the red car, which never actually belonged to Rishi Sunak, but she filled up with petrol anyway.
He's got the card he didn't know how to use as well.
And then next, that's a large space where they were going to park the SNP camper van. But instead, we've just got the white outline of a camper van that was drawn by the police.
And what's that over there? Ah! Half a dozen traffic cones. Do you know why that's there?
What are we supposed to do with those?
Well, you're not meant to do anything with them. You're meant to call the number that's written there and tell John Major you've seen some traffic cones.
Oh, very good. That's nice of the children. A bit of interactivity. It's a cones hotline. It's a cones hotline. Very good. And then there's just a glass case here of just some other smaller transport items. Margaret Ferrier's train tickets from where she travelled from Scotland to London and back again, even though she'd got COVID.
And that old-fashioned yellowing one there, that's Dennis Healey's unused ticket to Hong Kong, 1976, when he was Chancellor. You know, squeezing the rich until their pips squeaked. He was on a trip to Hong Kong, or en route to Hong Kong, when he had to turn back and go to the Treasury and get an IMF bailout.
I mean, that is properly niche. Thank you for whichever listener sent that in. Now, we were also hoping to have a tractor in this room, but frankly, this is a family day out, and we don't want any of that filth.
Funnily enough, it was tractors that I was looking at, and so I did get into another website that had a sort of very similar name.
I did think I recognised that.
And I watched it for a bit, which I shouldn't have done.
Dirty boy. Right, we should move on then. Let's leave the Chris Grayling wing. And let's leave the Chris Grayling wing of the museum. We're off to the catwalk of fashion fiascos.
I don't usually go in for this. You just see rooms full of emotionless, lifeless wooden mannequins, don't you?
That is actually Theresa May wearing £995 leather trousers. And then right next to that, we've got a sort of Guy Fawkes dummy ready for the bonfire. Oh, that's Jeremy Corbyn in a shell suit. And, well, in this glass case, we've got...
Is that a relic from a holiday to the Netherlands? Why does it say Hague on it?
No, very good. No, I think it's a relic from a trip to Cornwall. It's William Hague's baseball cap.
Don't do anything unwise to try and grab that attention, I think, is the moral of that particular episode.
And Michael Foot's donkey jacket.
No, not a donkey jacket, as Michael Foot and Jill Craigie, his wife, could have told you. It was actually a very expensive green overcoat that Jill bought from Harrods for his winter coat. Not a donkey jacket at all, as much as it looked like that.
And we've also got in here some accessories as well. Danny Alexander's yellow budget box when he held up his own. That's probably niche from 2015. And in this interactive area, a blue shirt. This was put in here by the curator, Times columnist Robert Crampton.
This isn't very nice, particularly from an aesthetic point of view. Remember Tony Blair's sweat-soaked blue shirt? when he mistakenly wore a blue rather than a white shirt.
Yeah, it's very risky.
For a party conference speech, and then did his big thing at the end with his arms up, and it was absolutely saturated.
That can go in like the fashion room.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a few suggestions of that.
And you could get like an odour, like in the cinema where you get sort of smells and
scratch
stuff.
And sniff. That's the Tony Blair's smelly shirt.
Yeah.
Do you want to scratch that, Patrick?
I've already touched it.
Let's move on. So this is the... now we're entering the John Stevens wing.
You know what? I hate you go to museums and everyone's got a wing that's named after a controversial philanthropist.
So this is John Stevens dedicated John Stevens. This is all dedicated to lectern fiascos. Well, maybe Ed Vasey, when he's finally got away from the buffet, he can help us get the funds together to buy Liz Truss's Jenga lectern from Holmes, England. So there's a gap here, but there's plenty to see here, Patrick. I mean, what's nice, actually, is on each lectern, you can press a button.
Shall I press this first
press
one?
Press that one, yeah.
Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed.
Oh, very nice.
Last seen this lectern in Halifax in 2017, just after Theresa May had binned her controversial dementia tax, the moment she arguably lost that election.
But there's plenty of Theresa May lecterns here. Here's another one from 2017.
I'm not sure I want to touch this one.
No.
It's covered in a sticky film of some sort.
It does... Oh, is that phlegm?
Yep. Public sector working together. Why we will never...
Yeah, I think we'll leave that. All right. Oh, dear. And then there's this one. This was David Cameron's lectern, which he last used in 2016. That was yours. Right. Now, this is an interesting one. This is not really a lectern. What's this, Patrick?
It says this was last used in Blackpool in 2003 by someone called Ian Duncan Smith.
Doesn't ring a bell. What was he doing?
I say this. The quiet man is here to stay, and he's turning up the volume.
And he was turned out by his colleagues shortly after. Now, John Major's soapbox. We had a few nominations for this. Should John Major's soapbox be?
Well, I think this is controversial curation, although good museums these days try and be provocative and try and, you know, shake us out of our cosy consensus. You know, 1992, John Major got on his soapbox for the first time in Cheltenham, I think, and, you know, he took the fight. You know, Labour had a very glitzy, very well-produced campaign.
And he won against the odds.
Yes, he did.
We're not having this. We're going to hand that over to a different museum. We're going to loan that.
Repatriate that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is an old favourite, Patrick. Do you want to push the button on this lectern?
Oh, you're too kind.
We're all right! We're all right!
So this is from Neil Kinnock's victory rally in 1992.
Can we do that again? Can I press that again?
We're all right! We're all right!
It's nice of them to have translated what Kinnock insists he said, which is, well, all right, and not all right.
Right, we need to move on. Now, in this room, in the Museum of Political Fiascos, this is a weird collection of odds and sods that we couldn't work out where to put. So we've got lots of listeners wanting this to be put in the museum.
This is the sort of bigoted woman that said she used to be a lady. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That's Gordon Brown's lapel mic.
From Rochdale in 2010. You know, that should really go with the Gillian Duffy Memorial lapel mic. Should go with the Gillian Keegan.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's all about the Gillian box.
The Gillian box.
What else? What's that over there?
That's a bin overflowing with... Those look like documents from the Cabinet Office.
That's Oliver Letwin's bin.
I was walking around dictating responses and simply wanted to make sure that the pieces of paper were not weighing me down, so.
Yeah, it turned out he was dumping government documents in bins.
This is a visitor's announcement. The museum will close in 10 minutes.
We need to get on. We need to crack on. Right. We're going to have to rattle through this.
What's this reconstruction of a suburban semi-detached house?
I think it's all about the flag. So the flag on that, that's the Rochester flag.
Image from hashtag Rochester.
Yeah, Emily Thornberry lost her job in the Shadow Cabinet in 2014 after apparently sneering at flags. We haven't got time to have a go on Jennifer Arcuri's pole dancing poll. I'll tell you what, let's have a quick go on this. This is good. This is an interactive karaoke-style exhibit where you can pretend to be Jeremy Paxman by shouting at this Michael Howard dog. Or is it the real Michael Howard? Right, Patrick, you have a go.
So let me just read the text here. Did you threaten to overrule him?
The truth of the matter is that Mr. Marriott did you threaten was to not overrule suspended.
Him? It tells me to say 12 times. Overrule did you threaten
Derek.
To overrule him?
I took
did
advice
you threaten to
on what
him?
I could or
did
could
you
not
threaten
do.
To
I did not overrule Derek,
did
was not suspended.
Did you
I have accounted for my decision
did you
to dismiss
to
Derek Lewis.
What a lot of fun.
And for all the family.
At this end, there's a filing cabinet marked paper fiascos. One whole filing cabinet just full of Andrew Bridden's letters of no confidence.
Wow.
That he sent to Graham Brady.
This takes me back. This is Paul Nuttall's CV.
This is Paul Nuttall's CV. Oh, I mean, it looks impressive, but is it all true?
No, and I've never claimed I've got a PhD.
It's
on
your website.
It's not on my website. It's on a LinkedIn page that wasn't put up by us, and we don't know where it's come from, OK? So I've never claimed that at all.
Did you ever play professional football for Tranmere Rovers?
I played for 5 years for Tranmere Rovers as a schoolboy and a youth team player. I've never claimed that I've been a professional. It was one press release in 2010 put out by a press officer who knows nothing about football.
It's really good this stuff has been saved for the nation.
It's good. So there's a place for it to be. There's a roll of wallpaper in here as well. Neville Chamberlain's piece of paper proclaiming peace in our time. And that's all there. This is a treat. What's that, Patrick?
I'm saying wing roulette, half chicken, medium with spicy chips and garlic bread. This could only be Gavin Shuker and Change UK's Nando's receipt.
That takes us right back.
Takes us back. Long table full of plastic heavyweights.
On the top of here, it's part of the paper exhibition, is Gordon Brown's printer, where children can take it in turns throwing it at the cabinet.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So all of these things have been recommended or put forward by Times Radio listeners and guests this week. Look, we're running out of time.
We don't have time to go in the Trump International Gallery?
We can't go into the Trump International Gallery. It's basically they've got, like, hanging Chad, Justin Trudeau's blackface makeup in there, a bottle of cloudy water from a Bunga Bunga party jacuzzi, just Rudy Giuliani, the Four Seasons total landscape. But we don't have time. We've got to crack on. Because I thought I'd treat you. I've paid for the extra, you know, the temporary exhibition. A guided tour of a special exhibition from Elaine Challice, who's Professor of British History at the University of Liverpool, is here to show us around. Hello, Elaine.
Hi, Matt. Hi.
So, tell us about the fiascos from the 18th century.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a couple of elections that ended up being controversial. We would call them fiascos, but they certainly created some attention. How would that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great. That's exactly what we want.
Okay.
What's the first one you've got to show us?
Okay. The first one I'm going to tell you about is Wells Somerset election, which is from 1765. It was a by-election called by the fact that one of the two MPs, these were all two MP seats, had been called up to the Lords. So there was a seat open. And there was a man who was the son of the earlier mayor of the town, but he was an aspirant. He, you know, his dad was a mercer. He wanted to work his way up in the system.
Yeah.
But the established people didn't want him, so they called him the Burcott Bear because he was a big, bluff, big, genial chap. And they fought for 4 months. If we think about short elections, this was a four-month election.
Wow.
And in the end, what they did, and this is the part that's really interesting, is they called the election, they held the election, they started the poll, two votes were cast, and then the mayor, who was on the other side, went off in a huff, stomped out of where the election was being held, went off with everybody that was his followers, started an entirely different poll, ran a completely separate election, and they had two full election polls done. They submitted all the results. Our luckily Wells person won, except he didn't, because it went all the way to Parliament. And Parliament decided that because of the way the election had been held, if we went back to the charter in Wells, because Wells had a charter that dated way back to King John, the mayor had the right, and so consequently, even though the guy had won the vote...
So they ran two elections and he still won. Elaine, tell us about Mrs. Punch.
Ah, yeah, Mrs. Punch is wonderful. This is a Hindon election, Hindon in Wiltshire. It's 1774, and Hindon is one of these places that's really venal. You know, people expect to be paid. You go and you get favours, and you go to the local pubs, and they basically have holes in the walls or holes above the door, and they give you money. You're tied up in a little piece of paper. But then you also had, a week before the election, they had a man who dressed as a woman who went around town, surrounded by people carrying flags and staves and bats, basically clubs, giving money out to people at the door. And some people, some families earned up to 20 or 30 guineas from this. Now, if you multiply that by sort of 60, you get a sense that this is a huge amount of money for a vote. This one was this one was so contentious, this election, that basically the Parliament tossed the election out entirely and ended up putting the two candidates in jail for 6 months for bribery.
Wow. Elaine, really good. So, thank you very much for showing us some of those old fiascos. Let's head to the cafe of political fiascos. Now, needless to say, a lot of entries for this one. Now, what should we have?
Well, it's 11:30. I haven't had a proper breakfast.
I don't think I lost with the bacon sandwich.
I'm
not sure about that.
He doesn't seem to be enjoying it.
Something a bit more specialist?
Now, you said to me about 11 o'clock last night, it seems like another age, that if the exit poll was right, you'd eat your hat. Well, this is a hat.
You are so predictable, aren't you? I just knew you'd do it.
I wanted to get a bigger one.
I bet you.
Yeah, I'm not sure why I want to meet Paddy Ashdown's hat. You could maybe eat a hot dog with a knife and fork like David Cameron.
I'm not really feeling that.
What about a burger? There's one of George Osborne's posh Byron burgers, which he was eating while he cut spending.
I'd like something more traditional. Have you got anything more traditional?
Yeah, there's John Gummer's delicious, definitely BSE free burgers.
There is no need for people to be worried, and I can say perfectly honestly that I shall go on eating beef as my children will go on eating beef, because there is no need to be worried.
Well, his daughter seems to be enjoying it. So
there's a choice of eggs too. I think I'd give it Wiener curried eggs a miss. John Prescott special. That sounds messy.
He's got it all down his face.
They throw the egg at you, then you punch them in the face. What about the Michael Gove Scotch egg? Although, is that, I don't know, is that a starter or a main?
As far as I'm concerned, it's probably a starter. A couple of Scotch eggs is a starter, as far as I'm concerned. A Scotch egg is a substantial meal.
I'm not sure if it's going to fill me up or not. We could get something from the cold fridge over there that Boris Johnson hid in. They've got David Miliband's banana. Peter Mandelson's guacamole.
Oh, what a treat. What a treat. Hang on, on closer inspection, that's not guacamole.
No, that's mushy peas. And there's just lettuce. So much lettuce. Actually, I know what I'm going to have.
A little bit of fish, a little bit of cheese.
Yeah. Sorry, what is that?
A little bit of fish, a little bit of cheese.
It's what they call the Keir Starmer breakfast.
A little bit of fish, a little bit of cheese.
A little bit of fish, a little bit of cheese. What are you going to have to drink?
Is it too early for a tipple?
No. So that's basically all there is. You can have a suitcase of booze, a Dianabic mojito in a can.
I'm thirstier than that, though.
What about a tray of 14 pints, or what they call a William Hague?
Yeah, go on then.
Well, we need to crack on, Patrick. We're running out of time. I don't think we're going to have time to go into the salon of musical fiascos.
Oh, but can we get something to remember the day with? I'm sorry.
We haven't got time for that. To be honest, they haven't got the Nick Clegg video recreated Carly Rae Jepsen's I Really Like You. We haven't got time for John Redwood singing the Welsh National Anthem. We haven't got time for the slightly eerie fiascos that never existed. That's David Cameron's pig. We don't have time for that. Or we definitely don't have time for Keith Vaz's washing machine. Let's go to the gift shop. What do you fancy in the gift shop?
Those shoes look nice. Hang on, they're much too expensive.
£480 for a pair of Prada loafers. You're not having those.
What about those? My godson would love that blue brick and orange hammer set.
Yeah, that's the Ed Davey kit.
Okay.
Yeah, you could definitely have one of those. Very good. Or I just might buy one of Jeremy Corbyn's massive marrows. Take one of those home. Put that in your trousers. Patrick, have you enjoyed your tour of the Museum of Political Fiascos?
Honestly, I've enjoyed it more than I enjoyed going to the National Railway Museum on my 28th birthday.
Well, listen, at this point, we must pause and thank our team of curators, our team of listeners, who helped pull together this extraordinary exhibition.
Leslie Smith, Mark Chapman, Miranda Green, Stephen Thomas, Mike W, Susanna Rolls, Tim Grindle, Brian Robson, Richard Jacks, David Manning, Darren Newman, Phil Jones, Peter Horston, John Michael White, Simon Page, Nicola Roberts, Andy Day, Stephanie Ellen, Helen Walton, Phil Jones, Liam O'Hara, Paul Dempsey, Alan Chapin, Martin John, Alice Lilly, Jonathan Jones, Richard Jacks, Graham Lovelace, Catherine Mills, Tony Reed, Roddy McDougall, Catherine Miles, David Sells, Nicholas Faulkner, Phil Burgundy, Ed Fryer, Katie Parker, David Studland, Christopher Gay, Mark Lee, Philip Morris, Martin McLeish, John Campbell, Larry Dunstan, Pippa Poskett, Tim Carter, Julie Nins, Katrina Congleton, Philip Lowe, Harry Atkinson, Stephen McMillan, Bill Rankin, Fiona Van der Sloos, John Wensley, David Kaufman, Simon Witt, John Wensley, Jason Blair, Sarah Shaw, Tim Smith, Dan Johnson, Dee Goddard, Jonathan Andrews, Anne Dixon, Janet Hedge, and Bob McCluckie.
And if you like that sort of thing, you're going to love my Times Radio show. Weekdays from 10, I'm back in January. But for now, for me, Matt Chorley, it's goodbye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.